Over the summer, I was in the region of Galicia in the northwest of Spain. Galicia is a beautiful region, hilly, green, lots of coast, sort of fairly moderate climate compared to some of the more extreme regions in the rest of Spain, especially in terms of heat. Anyway, now Galicia is a region that I know quite well, but as you can expect, there's always some place that has gone undiscovered. And in this case, it was the northern coast between the city of Ferrol and in the direction sort of east towards the province of Lugo and along that coast. It's an amazing stretch of land, a really big surprise for me. I loved it. Lots of really pretty villages, beautiful, lush, green countryside, playful rivers, endless stretches of crescent-shaped sandy beaches, cliffs, and you name it. It's really pretty. Now, one day we took a trip up to a point on the coast known as Estaca de Bares, B-A-R-E-S. Bares is the town, and it's part of a larger town called Mañón, and Estaca is the cape on the coast. This location just happens to be the northernmost point of Spain, and the Iberian Peninsula for that matter. It also represents the imaginary division between the Atlantic Ocean and the Cantabrian Sea, a designation used almost exclusively in Spain, the Cantabrian Sea, the Mar Cantabrico. It sort of describes what in English we sometimes refer to as mainly the Bay of Biscayne. I'm not sure if it's the whole body of water, but the Mar Cantabrico is, as I said, that body of water. It's really part of the Atlantic that goes along the northern coast of Spain, but I guess technically from this point to the east, towards the Basque Country and towards France. Now, that day we went there, had started out pretty foggy in the morning, the way they sometimes can do in Galicia. But then it just sort of opened up. The sun burned through. And by the time we reached the Estaca de Bares and the lighthouse there, it was a glorious day. The sun wasn't just shining. It was bursting. It was beautiful. The water was deep blue. The seas were actually quite calm that day. It was just a gorgeous day. And I was looking out in all directions, enjoying the view. And when I looked to my right, to the east, down the coast, with the steep cliffs dropping into the sea, at first I thought it must have been like a half a mile away. It was a lot closer. I could see this rectangular shape. It didn't seem to have any windows, so I didn't really know what it was. And I was asking, what could that be? I eventually decided that it might be an old cemetery, because sometimes you find them along the coast, and it sort of had somewhat that look, but I wasn't 100% convinced. It didn't really have all the markings of a cemetery. And that was it. And then we left the place, spent the rest of the day in different towns. I'll have to tell you about that at a different time. Anyway, a few days later, I was telling some friends from Galicia about the Cape and the lighthouse and things like that. And then one of them mentioned, knowing that I was American, and said, did you know that there used to be an American base there, and if I knew about it? And I said, an American what? An American base, a military base. I had no idea. And I figured I was pretty much on top of these things. But no, that was true. After the Pact of Madrid in 1953, the United States started setting up military installations in Spain, since Franco was a staunch anti-communist. And the Americans, in return for their support of Franco, were allowed to build some bases, Air Force bases in Torrejón, just outside of Madrid, another one in Zaragoza, another one just out of Seville called Morón. And then there was the naval base in Cádiz, known as Rota. In fact, Rota still has some American troops there. But other than that, the American presence has pretty much disappeared, at least the military presence. And we are talking about the early 1990s. So I had never heard of this other military base that they were talking about. And I thought maybe it had something to do with World War II. I just didn't really know what it was. And then I started thinking about that building I saw right next to the lighthouse. And I had a photo of it. I actually had a picture of it. And I took it out and I showed my friend. They weren't really sure, but we said, you know, maybe that was it. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And it turns out that it was. And that brought me to the next question. Why on earth was there an American military base there? I mean, what was it doing there on the northern coast, basically in the middle of nowhere? Was it some kind of watchtower or something like that? Maybe it had radar. Well, I wasn't too far off in that assumption. Because when I call it a base, it's basically a very big exaggeration. It was actually a transmitting station. And what was it there for? Well, this transmitting station was built during the Cold War to guide ships and aircrafts that were crossing the Atlantic. And the system was called LORAN, which was an acronym for Long Range Aid to Navigation. And what was this system? Well, it's a ground-based pulsed hyperbolic radio navigation system developed in the United States during World War II. And it was used by ships and aircrafts for over-the-horizon positioning. It was a way of trying to locate the position of aircraft and ships that were far away. And it was done through a system of location by measuring the time difference of arrival, TDOA, of synchronized radio pulses from a master station, one of the stations, and several secondary stations, also known as slave stations. In other words, the master station and the slave station would send out pulses quickly. And once they reached the object, be it a plane or a boat, the difference in time between the two pulses was recorded. And then the same was done between the master station and another slave station from a different point. And with these results, the engineers could pinpoint the location of the vessel. Basically, this was the system they used before GPS. And in fact, it was still used in some places up until recently. It's obviously outdated, but some places still have it as a backup system if the GPS ever fails. So the U.S. came to an agreement with Spain, as I was telling you before, and in addition to those main bases, set up these radio stations, these transmitting stations. The first was the LORAN A, and it was replaced by the more accurate system, the longer-ranged system, LORAN C. The station at Estaca de Bardes began to run in 1961. Now, one surprising fact about this station is that it wasn't the Army or the Navy or the Air Force that was managing the station there, but rather the U.S. Coast Guard of all groups. I mean, it is a part of the armed forces, but I wouldn't expect it to be providing service as far away as the northern coast of Spain. But that's the fact. And the Coast Guard operated it between 1961 and 1977. And it worked in chain with other stations. One was in Wales, in the UK, in a place called East Blockhouse. And also another one in France called Pospoder, P-O-S-P-O-D-E-R. In 1973, the French ended that service there, stopped operating that one. And I also believe there was one in Portugal. There was also another station located in Catalonia, in a place called Estartit, but I think it was used for different services in different areas. Anyway, that was the purpose of that small base, and it continued to be an active station for 30 years until 1991. Ironically, no one seemed to know about it. I guess that is okay from a military standpoint. There's really very little mention of it, and I can assure you that most people, even in Spain, have never heard of it. I've been talking to a lot of people in the last couple of weeks, and no one had ever heard of it, except for these people who lived in Galicia, and I think that must be a topic of conversation, or has been over the decades, to have an American base in your region. And to think that this station was only 300 yards away from where I was. I, for some reason, thought it was farther away. But it was only about that distance, maybe a 5-10 minute walk, 10 max. And I had no idea it was there. It was such a shame. I would have loved to go see it and check it out. And even though there's not much there, I think it would have been cool to see. As I said, the French station closed in 73. And then in 1977, the Air Force took control of it. So the Coast Guard was there from 1961 to 1977. And then from 1978 to 1991, it became part of the 2186 Communication Squadron, which managed the facility as a remote radio delay communications hub under the command of the Torrejón Air Base outside of Madrid. And then after that, it was abandoned. After its closure, the installation was leaving behind a collection of sort of stark white buildings perched on these cliffs above the sea, just like the one I mentioned in Catalonia. The structures are in ruins for the most part. They're still standing, but battered from the salty air from the ocean and storms and just neglect. Some of the videos I've seen show buildings. The inside of the buildings are empty. There's nothing left. It's sort of hard to know what each room was there for. You can recognize bathrooms. And then someone who might have a little more knowledge on this could tell you where the radio room was, maybe where the cafeteria was or the mess hall. But the walls are all covered in graffiti, and that's sort of what you have left there. In 2019, just 6 years ago, the municipality of Mañón actually purchased the site. I think they purchased it from the Ministry of Defense. But redevelopment plans have yet to materialize, and the complex just sort of continues to deteriorate. Now, close-up and personal details, as well as photographs from the time, are not that abundant. It's not that easy to find anything. Much of what we know relies on historic memory from the elderly who had some contact with the base. One man in his 80s recalled how his company, his business, installed a Finnish sauna there, which was one of the first to be installed in Spain. Another talked about playing against the frontón, which is a wall where every town in Spain has its own frontón. It's this sort of wall for hitting tennis balls against or kicking a football against. It's actually traditionally used for sort of Basque games like highlight, but now any sort of ball game can be played against the wall. And every single town that I know of in Spain has at least one, and no matter how small it is. Anyway, they recall playing games at the frontón with the American military soldiers there. You can find pictures of the radio room in action, the mess hall, officers and operators posing in front of a building. I even saw a photo of the local residents and the military personnel celebrating the 4th of July with a good old-fashioned cookout. Now, that was sort of the best way to win over the locals' hearts. And that was about it. But still, I told you, it was one of the biggest surprises of the summer because I just had no idea it existed. And there's not much about it, but once again, it's sort of a cool piece of history. Spanish history, American history, Cold War history. It's a relic from that period. One side of me wants it to be restored for visiting, and I think there was a plan to do something about it, I believe, but nothing has come of it. And it would probably be very costly to do, and the benefits may not pay off. Who knows? As for now, it continues to fade away before our very eyes, and it's also a shame I was not able to see it, and to think I was just a stone's throw away and didn't know what I was looking at. Anyway, that'll be all for this podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel. We do most of our podcasts or we publish them there. Try to add a few images there. That's something we're working on. But we'd greatly appreciate your support by subscribing to us. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.